Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host Dee Boghetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Hey folks, I think Terry's got a list of things for us to talk about today.
I have a couple of interesting things, sort of a hodgepodge, but we do a lot of hodgepodges.
They're good.
they're interesting.
Little snippets of fun stuff.
It is. I read a really interesting article this past week on service dogs.
Okay.
And I know you have an interest in service dogs.
Absolutely. What did you learn?
Well, in this particular one, it was a study for a vets with post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Okay.
And this was the study was done by the Military Health Research Group in Kansas City, and they have been placing service dogs with people with the post-traumatic stress syndrome to help not only soothe the symptoms, I guess, for lack of a better way to do it, but to alert when the symptoms are coming up.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, the particular article is about one lady and her service dog named Boo, and who is a mastiff.
Way cool, man!
And she develops road rage, and she just starts locking in and driving faster and faster and faster. And the dog is riding in the back seat. And this particular story she was telling started nudging her on her arm and brought her back into reality. She was kind of flashing back.
Oh my gosh.
And the dog sensed what was going on and brought her back just by licking her arm.
Oh, how cool
is
that? That gives me chills.
It was really cool. And I had not heard of them doing this. Now, again, this is, of course, they're not doing everybody that needs one, but they are doing it. They've tested it. They've got really good data on this. And they're using, in the case of these particular service dogs, they're using them not only for the vets, but people with bipolar disorders, schizophrenia, and anxiety. The same training sessions, the same types of dogs, and they're getting an 82% reduction in symptoms by using these dogs.
Did you hear that? 82% without drugs.
Without drugs. This is just what the dog's providing.
Oh, this just thrills me to death, Terry. It does. Because you and I both know what they're capable of.
Yeah.
And finally, the medical community is starting to listen.
More importantly, even the government gets it.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, that is rather mind-boggling, isn't it? That
last to get anything.
Our veterans are finally getting some help that they so badly need. That just does my heart so much good.
Yeah. I think it's an excellent program. Of course, there's not enough dogs for everybody, and which is sad because there are enough dogs that could do this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think it's fascinating because, you know, I work with service dogs who alert to scent. And so I want to read more about this so it will help me understand. But if apparently there's a change in the body before an episode's going to happen that the dog can know before it happens and alert on. And I just want to know what they found out about that.
Well, that type of data wasn't in the article because it was in U.S. News.
Right, but man, it's fascinating.
Well, I would think it's adrenaline. So if you're starting to pump up, at least with the vets, this person, she gets very aggressive and starts really.
So yeah, that would
up.
Be adrenaline that they can smell.
Right, they could. Okay. You could smell that through the skin. So I don't know on bipolar. I don't know enough about I know what it is, but I don't know enough about how they could sense that. But there's got to be a trigger.
There is. There has to be. If they are being able to catch things before they happen, and we know they can do that with seizure disorders. With the diabetic alert dog thing, with blood sugar. So what I'm loving is that more and more dogs will have jobs to help humans. And, you know, back to that dream, and somebody out there listening is going to help us with this dream of, we talk so much about rescue dogs, dogs who need homes. You know, how can we create something that allows us to pull some dogs out of rescues who have great temperaments and who are young enough and train them for these folks.
Yeah. Seems like a perfect fit.
Yeah, rejob them, man.
Right. You know, and if it's sort of a side note, and we've talked about this in other episodes, is dogs for elderly.
Oh, yeah.
A service dog who can dial 911, you have a special button.
Oh, you have a special phone. Absolutely.
The elderly person falls, they go unconscious, whatever it is, they hit this button.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's easy to train.
Oh, it's so easy. And plus, what is that dog doing day in, day out for that elderly person?
Exactly.
For them psychologically. They're going to keep them up. They're going to give them a reason to get out of bed.
Yeah.
You know, they now have a dog that they need to take care of and who will take care of them.
So lots of good ways to use dogs. Enough dogs to do it, not enough people to train them. That's the
dilemma.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, y'all put on your thinking caps. We're doing it all the time. I'm trying to make connections right now so we can actually start programs here in the Richmond area where we can pull dogs who are rescue dogs. There's so many, Terry. There have got to be some, like, 18-month to 2-year-old dogs with good temperament.
Sure.
Who could be service dogs. So anyway.
I'm sure of it, certain of it.
Yeah.
There's
we just have to make it happen.
Yeah. So that was a cool article.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Now, what else?
Well, I'm going to talk about raw foods a little bit because we're starting to switch our pooches over.
That's very cool. Tell me about it because I've not done it yet with mine.
Well, I've done some different reading, and there's always, you know, there's 1,000 different ways you can do it.
Right.
We kind of started with using a pre-made supplement that you can get that's basically grains and vegetables that have been dehydrated. You rehydrate them and mix it with the raw meat, and then you feed them that way. That's kind of expensive. It is convenient if you're traveling, but it's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So we started with that. We're now at a point where we're just using raw meat and vegetables, and then we're going to give them some supplements.
Okay.
Because there's some things like flaxseed or something to get the omega-3s.
All right.
There are daily vitamins that they're recommended depending on which program you're trying to follow. Mm-hmm. So it's not a completely self-sustained meal within what you're providing, but it gets away from some of the additives that are in the commercial foods.
So what kind of meats are you using?
We're taking the stance of mixing the types of meats up. So we first started, we got a really good deal on some ground buffalo, which is typically very expensive, but this was the same price as cheap hamburger. Mm-hmm. So we bought buffalo, mixed it with some vegetables, just frozen human bag of vegetables, mixed them all up and fed it to the dogs. We're on hamburger beef right now, 80-20 mix.
Right.
But we'll also mix in some turkey at times and other things just so they don't develop any sensitivity to a particular meat.
Right.
And we're going to change the vegetables around a little bit. This time we use bigger chunks of vegetables. Sparky doesn't have an issue with it. Surrey doesn't like it. So we're going to grind the vegetables up and make it more so you can make meatballs out of it and actually freeze it. Right
cool.
now it's not, you can't compact it.
Right.
And again, like I said, some flaxseed oil or some fish oil for omega-3s and some other vitamin stuff. So that's where we're going with it. Mm-hmm. We haven't completely gotten them off dry, but that's the goal, is to get them away from that, any commercial food.
So what we'll do, Terry, is check back every couple of months and see how the dogs are doing on the raw diet.
Yeah.
I'm guessing they'll do just fine. One of the things that I'd like to do is share with our listeners on the website when we post this episode, like the list of vitamins that, to your knowledge, we should be giving our dogs when we give raw diets.
Right. And again, there's different trains of thought around that. So we're following what our holistic vet is recommending.
Okay.
So the vet we've used for our other dogs has a list of what she recommends.
Oh, cool. All right.
That's what we're going to follow because we trust her and some of the other ones on the internet. I don't know the people posting.
So perhaps we can put a link to her site.
Yeah, we can do that.
That would be great. Yep. That's Dr. Lord, right?
Yeah, Dr. Lord.
Cool,
So that's neat. So the other piece, a lot of people think that it's expensive to go to the raw diet. And some of the prepackaged raw meats you can buy that are specifically, they're like frozen nuggets.
Right.
It is kind of expensive. Mm-hmm. And we played with that as sort of along with the dry food for a while. But it was just too much per week.
Right.
But if you make it yourself from fresh ground meat and frozen vegetables with the supplements, is about the same price as a premium dog food.
Really?
Because we buy a limited ingredient diet dog food and it's $50 a bag.
Wow. For how many pounds?
40-pound bag, I think. So it's fairly expensive, but it's really a premium brand.
Right.
We got into that because she had allergies when we got her. But cost-wise, once you start looking at it, you know, a bag of frozen vegetables is 88 cents.
Right. Now I have a question for you. If you feed your dog a cup of dry food at a meal, how much raw diet do you feed? Same quantity or different quantity?
Well, we have a strange setup with that. So we're going to talk about this a little bit too later, but we leave food out all the time because our dogs aren't, they won't eat till it's all gone. They'll eat when they're hungry. I typically will feed them meat in the morning. And it's about 2.5 cups of meat.
Each. Wow. Okay.
And then they graze the dry stuff a little bit throughout the day whenever they want.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know. There's probably some science to it. I know there is with the prepackaged stuff. They say, you know, it's like 6 of those nuggets for a 40-pound dog. And, you know, I'm still figuring it out.
As we figure it out more, we'll let you know.
Yeah, because it's not rocket science. Like I said, there's so many variations of it, and we're trying to work through what's both healthy and cost-effective versus getting them the right nutrition. So
now, what are you going to do when you travel with the dogs?
Well, that's the dilemma. I guess McDonald's.
Hey, man, you get a Happy Meal today.
Probably, we got a trip coming up really soon. We probably will stay all dry with that one. The next trip, which is a little bit different, we'll take some meat with us and then buy meat when we get wherever we're going.
Cool.
So it's going to vary from time to time. And I don't think there's a straight one answer fits all.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, I'm going to be interested to see how this goes for your dogs. And at some point, I will probably do it for my dogs, too, because I want them, obviously, as healthy as they can possibly be. And I do a limited ingredient commercial food as well, but you just don't know. It's so much better if they can have human-grade food. Just here it is. And meat for carnivores, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And vegetables are really good for dogs.
Yep. And a couple of them will make them a little gassy, so broccoli makes them stinky.
Duck and cover.
Exactly.
You had something else.
I did have something else. The other piece of this is, and Dee's talked about this, we both talked about this on the show before, and my dogs have a rather odd way of eating, the dry food at least. The meat stuff, I feed them completely differently. And we were talking today, we sort of inadvertently trained the dogs to do this, or they trained us that's how they were going to do it. I don't know how this all worked, but for the longest time when we were feeding them the dry food, we had one bowl of food and one bowl of water, and they would wait in line and take turns. So one would eat for a little bit and then go around to the back of the line, and another one would move up, eat for a little bit, go around to the back of the line, and they would just do this when they were hungry.
Terry's dogs are unique.
Yeah, I've never had two dogs before, and again, somehow we trained them to do this, I'm sure, because this is not normal behavior for the dogs, but it was unintentional. So Dee had recommended that we go to a second bowl so that they have their own. Well, old habits are hard to break, so now they stand in line at both bowls and do the same exact pattern, even though there's two bowls. They just switch between bowls depending on the time of day.
Never mind. But I have to tell you guys, it's such a crack up, because Terry's got cattle dogs, right? I've got labs. You know what would happen if you did this with labs? The first one in line would eat everything, and the second one would get nothing. I mean, so, you know what? Whatever works for you. And I just think that's a hoot. You know, they created their own pattern.
Yeah.
And they do it. And it works for them. So, that's great. You know, everybody's getting enough food.
Oh, yeah. They're clearly healthy. Fine.
Yep.
Now, with the raw meat stuff, we don't. Each one gets their own separate bowl, and I've started it that way intentionally because I was afraid that might be a little bit too much temptation for a scuffle.
I should think, yes.
Although they're standing next to each other when they eat. I put the bowl, they're right next to each other.
Oh,
they're side by side, and they're fine.
My dogs have always eaten side by side. They just, you put them down at the same time, or somebody's looking at you like, excuse me, where's mine? Hello.
Exactly.
That is really interesting, though. Guys, behaviors happen sometimes, and not necessarily trained ones, not necessarily ones we want, but you got a cool one. You just got a really cool behavior out of your silly dogs, and he's going to film it.
Yeah, I got to film it, because I've never seen any dogs do this. Yeah. Very patient.
What sweet dogs they are. They really are.
Sometimes.
All right. Well, guys, just love your dogs, and make sure you take them out in the world with you. It's a great place for you and them, and we'll see you next time.
All right. See you, folks.